A Missoula strip club parking lot dispute turned deadly early this morning. I'm Christopher Allen.
And I'm Conrad Scheid, and that's our top story on Montana Evening Edition. State officials continue to consider all sides of a controversial proposal to have the state assume management of federal lands, and Montana School Superintendent Denise Juneau discusses graduation rates and Common Core standards with Edward O'Brien.
An early morning dispute in the parking lot of a Missoula strip club has left one man dead. Police officers responded to a report of a shooting incident at the Fox Club Cabaret at 2006 Ernest Avenue at about 1:15 this morning. Sergeant Travis Welsh says officers found a 23-year-old man suffering from a gunshot wound to the chest.
They contacted another male who claimed to be the one who fired the shot. He surrendered himself. He also turned over a weapon that he claimed to have used to wound the other male. The wounded male was transported to local hospital, where he was subsequently pronounced deceased.
Details of the dispute have not been released, but Welsh says the victim was standing outside of the vehicle in which the man with the handgun was seated. No identities have been released, no arrests made. The investigation is ongoing. Anyone who may have witnessed the incident but has not yet spoken with police is asked to contact Missoula Police Detective Mitch Lang at 552-6292 or Detective Bob Frank at 552-6643.
In other news, Montana officials say having the state take over management of federal lands is a complicated proposition, but one that they're looking into. Governor Steve Bullock says he doesn't advocate Montana taking over the roughly 25 million acres of federal land within the state's boundaries. However, the Montana Republican Party has endorsed just such a move, and the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation is studying the possibility. Department spokesman John Grassi says the more the agency looks at the idea, the more complicated it gets. The Billings Gazette reports state takeover of U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management lands could be expensive, incurring an annual deficit of $367 million. State takeover of federal lands has also been discussed in Wyoming, Idaho, and Utah.
The U.S. Forest Service plans to move its Region 1 headquarters out of a building in downtown Missoula in favor of a location at Fort Missoula on the outskirts of town. The move saves the Forest Service an estimated $1.9 million in annual lease payments. Forest Service officials tell the Missoulian they plan to put the money now budgeted for the building lease toward improving their existing offices at Fort Missoula. The move will take place next spring or summer. Missoula business officials say the decision is disappointing, and they'll notice the absence of 230 Forest Service employees in downtown Missoula.
It's September 1st, and that means another school year is underway. Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction Denise Juneau has kicked off a series of back-to-school visits, which she'll continue over the course of the next several weeks. Juneau says she enjoys meeting with faculty and administrators, and especially students, to figure out what's working in our schools and what could use some improvement. She tells Edward O'Brien the Graduation Matters Montana program to increase graduation rates and reduce the dropout rate is proving to be a resounding success. There are 43 Graduation Matters communities in Montana.
And it runs the gamut, everything from peer-to-peer mentoring and bringing people together, Main Street businesses, nonprofits, United Ways have been a great partner in these communities, and everybody just sitting down at the table, talking about their data, figuring out what they can do and how every adult has a role to play in making sure students are staying in school. So all of these look different depending on the context of their community. But because of the work they're doing, from 2009 to 2013, Montana's graduation rate has increased from 80.7% to 84.4%, and the dropout rates decreased from 5% to 3.6%. Mm-hmm. That's 772 more students that stayed in school over the last few years as a result of Graduation Matters efforts at the local level.
Let's talk a little bit about advanced placement and dual enrollment. Mm-hmm. AP, I think that's fairly self-explanatory. Briefly, what is dual enrollment? What are the benefits?
So dual enrollment is similar to AP, where AP is a course that's taken for students and they can take a test at the end of that. You know, it's advanced placement. And so they take a test and if they get a certain score, they're likely to get college credit. Mm-hmm. And dual enrollment's the same thing. It's just a connection with colleges across Montana. Where if a student is ready, they can step into a college English class or a college math class and bank those credits before they leave high school. And so we're working with the governor and the commissioner of higher ed to really make sure we're pushing that effort out as much as possible, because a lot of students are ready for college level classes and we want to make sure that those are available to them.
Saving, I would assume, students money in the long run and getting more people through these colleges in a more efficient way.
Yeah, right now dual enrollment courses are offered to students at half price of tuition. And so it really is a great way for students and families to get credit before they step out and have those in their backpack when they step on the college campus and at a reduced cost. And it's just a win-win for everybody.
Common Core, this is now the nexus of politics, social policy, education. Critics say it's more of the same, teaching to the test, dumbing things down, ceding our state educational systems to the federal government.
A few years ago, there was actually a call from American businesses across the country around public education, please do a better job of producing qualified workers, people with skills that are able to come and work for American businesses. And public education responded by getting together. I know there's a lot of misconceptions out there that it was federally driven, but this really is a state effort. States came together. My national organization, the Council of Chief State School Officers, came together with the National Governors Association and created a group that then wrote new standards for English language arts and math, that it was important for there to be common standards that were high, that were clear, that were rigorous. Before Common Core, every state had their own standards. Every state had their own assessment. So there really was no true measurement about how Montana students actually were stacking up. So we were the 46th state, I believe, to adopt these standards. We took our time. We brought the drafts in. We had responses from teachers on every draft. We had an outside group look at our standards and do comparisons. We had teachers come together and really look at the standards. And everybody that saw the new Common Core standards were like, yep, let's adopt them. Let's move forward and make sure that our students are reaching these benchmarks. The one big difference, I think, from our old standards are these new Common Core standards are grade by grade specific. And so before, our standards were benchmarked at 4th, 8th, and upon graduation. And so second grade teachers sort of had to guess about what do I teach my students to make sure that they're reaching those 4th grade benchmarks. Now they have their own second grade. They know exactly what the bar is. They know the content that those students need to meet. They're very rigorous.
Still, though, there's lots of pushback, lots of parents who are not happy about it. Louisiana Governor Jindal has filed suit against the Obama administration to stop it.
Yeah, that's politics. Common Core really is about good education and what's happening in schools and in classrooms. The political attack is really an attack on public education. And if it wasn't Common Core, it'd be something else. It's the idea that we want to privatize public education, that we want charter schools, we want tax vouchers, demonizing teachers and saying they're not doing a good enough job. That's the political part. Common Core just happens to be the tool that they're using to drive that wedge. But Common Core really is just about standards and about what students learn. There's nothing mysterious about them. I suggest if people really have a question, we have a great website, opi.mt.gov/MCCS, and go take a look and look at them, and there's nothing scary in them at all.
One more thing I would like to touch on. The Montana legislature once again convenes this winter.
Yep.
What are your plans? What are your expectations and hopes?
For the last few sessions, I've actually been under Graduation Matters Montana trying to get a bill passed that raises the legal dropout age from age 16 to age 18. This is going to be the session that it happens. And all that's really about is making sure that we set an expectation at the state level that we expect every student to graduate from high school. The law hasn't been changed since 1921. That's when we said that you have to be 16 to drop out. And the economic world that we live in now is just so different from that time.
Dropout age, what else?
So right now, there are a lot of schools actually that do the right thing. And if a student needs an extra semester or extra year past the age 18, they educate them, and they currently do not receive funding for those students if they're over age 18. And so there's probably around 100 students every year that are 19 that are in school, and so we want to make sure if schools are doing the right thing by educating them past the age of 18 that we pay them for that. And so that'll be another big push that I think has a good chance of passing this time as well.
Denise Juneau is Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Eight Missoula area high school students recently completed a two-week, nationally funded program designed to put young people to work, helping our rivers. But many participants say the rivers ended up helping them. Montana Public Radio's Amy Martin has more.
Sorry about that. We experienced some technical difficulties with Amy Martin's piece. We're now going to the editorial comments of Bruce Farling.
Like reruns of those awful 1960s TV shows, whose sole purpose, it seemed, was to annoy, Gilligan's Island comes to mind. Goofy notions that Montana's federal land should be handed to the state just won't go away, and it is proving to be a colossal waste of oxygen to discuss them. This summer, self-styled public land transfer proponents led by Montana Senator Jennifer Fielder and Representative Kerry White, who claim solidarity with crazy Nevada public land trespasser Cliven Bundy, have used their official positions on the Montana Environmental Quality Council to push the land transfer concept to a point where discussion and study of it has become a significant waste of legislative and staff time, as well as taxpayer money. Inexplicably, the idea of handing over up to 23 million acres of national forest and BLM land to the state even found its way onto the official platform of Montana's Republican Party. What are these people thinking? The proponents trumpet the transfer as an automatic path to better management of these lands, claiming it will greatly benefit Montana's economy and public land users. Of course, they have yet to work out a few niggling points, such as the fact their idea requires congressional approval, which will never happen. Further, no one can say exactly how much the transfer would cost the state, nor how it would work or how it would mean to, or what it would mean to existing users of public lands, which includes most Montanans. It's like Big Pharma pitching a new miracle drug on TV, but omitting the familiar staccato recitation of nasty side effects such as hemorrhoids, bleeding from the eyeballs, and, oh, by the way, death. It's worth noting that at one time all of Montana was in the federal domain, and that more than 70 million of 93 million acres has already been conveyed to state, tribal, or private interests through statehood, land grants, patents, and homestead laws. If that isn't enough non-federal management to benefit the economy of a lightly populated state, what's to say wresting the balance from the federal government will make any difference? Despite all the state and federal staff time that has gone into evaluating the idea, no one can say what it would cost the state of Montana to manage the federal acres and the obligations, such as fire suppression, that go with it. But there have been some informed guesses in the range of $500 million annually. Where Montana would get that money is one of those small details the land transfer boosters have yet to work out. They claim under state management, more resources will be extracted from these lands, presumably generating revenue to pay for the management. But they don't seem to comprehend that this will require a more market-like approach to land management than federal land managers currently deploy. That means below-cost timber cutting, grazing fees that are less than a fifth or more of what the state now charges, free recreational access, and, of course, free hard rock minerals such as gold, silver, and copper will be things of the past. That's probably why most timber grazing and mining interests are silent on the concept of conveying federal lands to the states. If it occurred, they'd have to pay more. That is, if the small government free market land transfer advocates were to be consistent. A significant flaw in the twisted logic of the transfer proponents is their unquestioned conclusion that state administrators are always the superior managers of natural resources. But state managers aren't required to consider the same spectrum of priorities that federal land managers must account for. That is, stuff not measured in board feet, animal unit months, or tons of ore. Federal managers have a larger obligation to provide for watershed health, rare species, all forms of recreation, and larger ecosystem values. As for the idea the state of Montana is always a superior manager, most upland bird hunters will tell you the last place you go to find prairie grouse or pheasants are state lands. They are often cultivated from fence line to fence line or grazed to the burnished profile of a billiard table. Wildlife, recreation, and watershed values are clearly not priorities on most state lands. It would be nice if this latest convulsion of state land grab mania would evaporate soon. It wastes time, it diverts elected officials from the real responsibilities, which are, sometimes they forget, to help steward Montana for today and subsequent generations. This is Bruce Farling of Montana Trout Unlimited. Contact us at www.montanatu.org.
Bruce Bruce Farling is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website.
In the forecast tonight, across our listening area, clear skies are expected with lows in the upper 30s to mid-40s. More sun is expected west of the Divide and in southwest Montana tomorrow, with highs in the 70s. Lows in the upper 40s. In central Montana, expect a few clouds, highs in the 70s.
Well, I'm Christopher Allen. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.